a wonderful station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Now, here comes the music.
And here comes the show, just a mere 15 minutes late. But I figure, with everybody sitting around the table for the intro of the show, that's close enough for government
right
work.
On time. Right on time. Right on time.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. We had to take a week off because life gets in the way. But we just, this week, we said, fuck life. Al woke up. We did a show.
I don't even say I woke up.
You're here.
Ooh, no, captains and PJs.
I thought you meant
like
last week's attempt to wake up.
Oh, no, no, this week.
Well.
This
week's attempt was a success.
Abandon life, do a show. That's what we decided to do this week. I've got a fresh pot of coffee in there. Al's got wine and nuts. You just figured out
what
you
need. It's
I'm
going to
take your word for
it. Kat's got beer. And I noticed Marnie doesn't have anything from Starbucks because they're closed for racial training.
No, really?
Actually, that's not why.
Oh, my God. That's not why.
Because I found a Nitro coffee at Circle K.
Ooh.
What is that?
Circle K, back in the game.
I know.
What does Nitro coffee mean?
I don't know, but it's fucking delicious.
Nitro coffee is the stuff that usually comes out of the tap. Ooh,
it's
like lightly carbonated,
right.
Sort of-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, is it like a cold brew, though?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we know how well that works.
I like it.
Cold brew.
Yeah.
You can do an entire 3-hour show in 90 minutes.
I've had some.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
Yeah. So nitro is an alternate form of carbonation.
Mm-hmm.
Often what's used in your Guinness on tap.
Oh.
And some cream ales that I greatly enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some what? Some cream ale.
Mm-hmm.
Got
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Giving the drink a nice, velvety but still bubbly flavor.
Right.
Not quite as aggressive and harsh as the CO2.
I don't know why I just defer to you for everything.
Because I know all the things.
I don't know how you do. You know a lot.
I just do.
What, these two?
I'm not sure.
No. These two are the knowers of all things.
Most things. I need to get to Circle K and try there.
Only 7th Street in Missouri. That's the only place I found it.
Oh.
Is it 86 cents like all the other beverages that come in that cup?
Well, maybe they didn't know that that's what I put in this cup.
Nice.
Oh!
Well, because they're large. Their large is only like this.
What's criminal mischief.
Criminal mischief right there. Marnie Ryer, ladies and gentlemen. She's busted. However, no, it's a cold beverage. It's a cold.
The lady stealing coffee.
No, it is a cold beverage.
Approve,
hats off.
But it is.
So your Polar Pop cup keeps it cold longer, from what I understand from their commercials.
Yeah. And they now have stacks that you can put two of them in, and they allegedly won't spill. You seen that?
No.
Now, what is your...
Or I would have gotten two.
What's...
Yeah, so there's a plastic sack available there somewhere that is the perfect size for two of those
cups.
Let that go. Wow.
Settle down. That's the second time I'm letting that go. Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
In your sack.
We don't say sack here. Is that a thing? We don't.
I don't know, but it's just kind of... I don't know. Well,
I just heard two in the sack, and I thought, I'm just going to take a little nap.
So,
well, now, according to on MSNBC, Katie Turr will not let you say taint team on her segments.
It got to be a long day with the taint team. Everybody had to be like, okay.
Come on.
Settle down.
Back in the
Talking about the extra investigator, whatever they call it.
Put it back where you don't wash it.
No taint team. And never wipe back to front. Anyway, we missed a week.
Just good advice.
It is really good advice.
Everyone should know.
It's all the pretzels you can have. Whatever you can carry in one hand is all the pretzels you're allowed to
put
in the entire
show. What's the spray bottle?
A little Paul Mitchell, you know.
It keeps the curl out of the pretzel.
I just have to straighten it out.
She has to straighten those pretzels.
Make a pretzel stick.
Some people call it hairspray. I call it dip.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Oh, dear Jesus.
Nothing worse than a frizzy pretzel.
So pretzels, yeah.
Calm that salt down.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying.
Press coffee here in town.
Uh-huh.
The good motherfuckers at, what's it called?
Press Coffee?
No, not Press.
At 7th and McDowell?
No, Cartel Coffee Labs.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, don't go there unarmed. Holy shit, they're gonna serve you coffee.
Okay.
Like, you got to be ready. You have to consult your cardiologist, make sure you've
sign
written out your will.
Sign a consent form.
Okay.
Take me, I'm a notary.
My friend Jenny says, Cardizem, which is a heart drug. Okay. To taste. Till it tastes just right, because you start to go into a little bit of palpitation.
Where is this now?
And then you can hear grass grow.
I do like the sound of grass growing.
Cartel Coffee. Now, isn't that the one that's downtown, like on Monroe? And
Cartel, there's one right catty corner to where Jason works, the Blue Hound.
Mm-hmm.
Not the, yeah, the Blue Hound, the Palomar.
I know what you're talking about. Where?
And then the other one's right next door to Casey Moore's in Tempe. And there's one in the airport. And I always make, because I'm so excited to see that one at the airport, because it's convenient. I have a couple minutes. So I go and get it, and then I fly on planes. So nervous!
But don't you like to usually sleep when you fly? Because
right, so that Cartel Coffee that just kills that dream, because you'll never sleep again.
You should get it in a thermos and then
they
have it when you get when you land.
That sounds delightful.
You should, and it really is a smart idea.
Yeah, I'm here to help. Yeah, I would get it in a thermos.
Fair.
Then you'd have it when you land, because you're going to be awake for whatever your adventure is.
That's a good idea.
You're welcome.
Well played.
My gosh.
I like it.
As Kat apparently ponders this idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking of security. You're going to have a coffee place that's past the security.
It is. True.
It
is.
Okay.
That's why, because the cartel's right by the Foil. Gate for, I think, right. Southwest.
Because unless you're smuggling it in 8 ounces at a time.
Yeah. Don't say
three
smuggling.
3 ounces.
No, but he meant to bring the empty thermos, right?
Don't say smuggling.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Bring an empty thermos with you.
Yeah, but the empty thermos comes through. Fill it up.
Yep. Now, wait, do they all... Now, unless they've already got where they pre-bottle it and you just take it with you and then bring the bottle back. There is a place that does that, isn't there? That you bring what do they call it? Vovomina, right.
They do that Japanese...
Yes, it comes down the wall and all the glass...
That little science experiment for their cold brew. Oh.
You know what makes good radio? When you finish your own sentences...
And I do things with my finger to display
and
my
not
point.
Gesture in the air.
Nobody in 7 years, nobody has ever finished a complete sentence because we all talk over each
Don't
other.
Don't I fucking know it.
That's a fair point.
Wow, somebody's a little pissy today. Wow. God. I think she's having relations at or issues with Steph in her shirt shop.
Oh.
Not relations, issues.
Be afraid.
I had a way different day than you think I
had. Can I start my story again? Because I don't think you heard what I did.
Did it involve coffee?
Not one bit. It didn't involve relations. Uh-oh. That's for sure.
I meant issues, not relations.
I did not know him biblically.
I think I was going to go with bad relations, which probably really still doesn't help.
We've all had those, too.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm having one right now.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
What is the Logitech dongle in here?
Is that the humming I hear?
So there's...
Is that new this week? Because I don't remember.
It doesn't usually travel with me. This is for the mouse that I use at home.
You can bring it with you. We don't object to them here.
I could, but it seems kind of nerdy to like come out and unpack your whole like little mouse and mouse pad and... I don't know, whatever else I would have to put over here.
This
have you ever watched,
watched
Ryan?
Yeah, have you ever watched her unpack?
She's like moving in when she comes over.
This is nothing.
I know.
This
no, today nothing. It's 10 pretzels and a polar cup. I mean, you're like the Swedish death version of the show.
We're down to 7 pretzels.
I can't carry this shit around with me. I gave it all away.
The pretzels are down 30%.
Oh, God, no. She's got a whole fucking bag of rolled gold pretzels. Look at that.
Rolled gold.
The tiny
can't
twist.
Smoke
I wasn't trying not to share. I just hadn't put them up yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm being for real.
By hour two, join us for a checkup on Marnie's sodium level.
caffeine.
She's going to be sweating salt and caffeine.
Yeah, salt and caffeine, you know.
Salt and caffeine.
Get balance each other out.
Pick a struggle.
I'm sweating. And it's not menopause.
You can be ugly or poor. Pick a struggle. Come on.
You can't be both.
You can't be both.
I don't know.
It has nothing to do with you. It's a different story.
Well, I don't
completely
believe
you. Completely different story. Mm. Well, like I said, we've been off for a week. Things got in the way last week, so we took some time off. Also, make your plans now. We're going to be taking some time off this summer because we always do. Because, well, it gets to the point where it's just too fucking hot in Arizona, and we just take some time off.
And you get real cranky, and it makes for bad radio.
Yeah. Well, when does good radio start?
Yeah, right? When did we tune back in for
when's
that?
That gonna
try a different channel.
Are you sure? Okay.
You know what you should do?
Hi, Rocky.
Hey, Rocky.
Touch that dial.
Yeah.
Turn
I
that
do
right
appreciate
over.
Your
what is the line that Eugene Levy delivers at National Lampoon's Vacation? You think you hate it now? Wait till you drive it.
Yeah.
You think you hate this show now? Wait till you listen to it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Kat Carlson, I know you're full of. You've got lots
Piss
of things you've
vinegar?
Been doing, and things are happening, and your hair's getting long. Look
it
at
is
that.
Really long.
I'm enjoying it. I want you to start rolling up in a big pompadour. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be pretty cool, except for I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And we thank you.
Such a quitter.
That's good. Yeah. No, not a quitter.
No. I would probably greatly enjoy that, no. But the work that
the
takes,
work
listen.
That it would take. Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
The busier I get, the farther out the window self-care gets. Didn't we learn anything from the toenail episode?
For real. Yeah.
No shit. Almost too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You people are lucky true. I took a shower today.
Mm. Okay. So, thank you again.
Bar lowered. Mm-hmm.
We've reached the bottom.
I showered within the last 24 hours. You're welcome.
Speaking did you happen to see on? I'll see if I can find it to play the video. Somebody posted a video of people at a pool and a woman sitting on the edge of the pool shaving her legs. Did you see this?
Shut up!
I would not lie to you. Continue on with your.
Stop it. That's disgusting.
It's horrible.
Oh my God!
Nobody worry. I don't shave my legs. So in heaven for years.
Forgot about that, but really wasn't worried.
Heaven for many years.
Doesn't affect my life at all.
No, but if you were in that pool, it would.
No.
Ugh. Yeah.
Someone shaving them. That.
Oh, no. I mean, her legs wouldn't affect me. No, that
how
lady.
How would that not affect you?
Let me see if I can find that.
So gross.
I would feel directly affected. So what else you been up to?
Nothing.
Once that shower happened, downhill.
Just working. Yeah, the hair's getting real long because that's like the one adult chore that I just cannot manage to do, and that's to make regular haircut appointments. Mm-hmm. There's just something about that. I know it's just a phone call and a time commitment, but I can't do it.
I'm with you.
There's got to be a Flowbee or something you can keep at home.
Not necessarily. That,
and there is, and I often cut my own hair, so that's you're welcome also. That's what it looks like.
That's why I have the Paul Mitchell. This shit is like it's a brown. Shelby was right. It's a brown football helmet.
A brown football.
Does your dress have to go over your head?
It is. My hair is just stupid long, and I'm the same way. I'm like, well, there you have it.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. Thank God for hats.
Well, amen to that.
And working in industries where hats are at least tolerated.
The owner of my company was like, "Can you just dress up maybe a little bit more, you know, whatever?" And
Did you pull out your nice baseball cap?
I was not unoffended, right? Because I'm like, what is wrong with
this? This time it's dressy. Yeah.
I literally have one baseball cap for dressing up. Yeah. I do. Yeah, it's a lovely totally shade of gray with a little I don't know, like a crown pin or some kind of decoration.
And I like that you lost the G the minute it became dressing up.
Yeah, right.
It's like the learning channel.
Well, because
TLC, touching little children. That
classy,
was good.
Classy people.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm just flinging T-shirts out left and right, and getting more jobs, which is great. And
good.
I got nothing.
Oh, by the way, thank you very much for the shirt. The shirt, and I should
have. My favorite jobs are shenanigan jobs.
I'll find the picture on Facebook and show
please
us here in a minute. But
do.
You did
tell
make
the story. Please tell the story.
Surprise shirt. Now, or you want me to tell them?
Sure, just right now. Yeah, take up my time because I got nothing. I've been t-shirts, avoiding haircuts, and cutting my toenails. That's all I've been doing.
Oh,
Marnie. Okay, so we've got a. So, 2 weeks. Thursday nights, I host at Stacey's the RuPaul's Drag Race showing, yada, yada, yada. Well, the two guys that are behind the bar, Jake and Devin, they are of an age, and I guess maybe a desire. They either work out or just have really high metabolism because they're skinny bitches, right?
Fuckers.
They can wear.
They're also 10 years old, so just stand by.
Fair point.
Right.
Check in with those fuckers in 10 years and see how they're looking.
Mid-20s-ish or somewhere in there. Anyway, so metabolism is high. They've got flat tummies, and they've now decided, because we've got RuPaul's Drag Race, for some reason they decided in the summer they're going to do what they're going to call Crop Top Thursday.
Oh, good.
So they've got little short shirts. They look cute. Flat tummies. Go on about it. Well, Dean, who works there, and is a barback, and myself, we've decided, you know, we have summer bodies too, but not this summer.
Yeah.
Maybe not next summer. We don't know what summer, but not this
they're
summer.
They're
not divulging a hemisphere.
So
summer of 88, the summer of, well.
Right. So yeah. Dean reached out to the lovely and talented Kat Carlson, and hey, Kat, her company that she does.
Hey, Kat.
Yeah.
And he presented me with the shirt. And what I loved about the story is when he told me he reached out to you, he said, let me guess, one's a black V-neck.
So, well, because he just asked for whatever the sizes were. And I said, wait, does one need to be a V-neck for Clayton? Because I had seen the shenanigans going on
online,
social media.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. I pay attention. I watch my people.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'll find the picture of it for you for a second. But hang on, let me show you this if I can. Up wrong deal. I've got to get back. So many things.
Another happy customer. A t-shirt success story, ladies and gentlemen.
That's really all life's about, isn't it? T-shirt success stories.
It really is.
Yes.
Why not?
It really is. I would agree.
Yeah, I had to drive out to fucking Gilbert today to drop off some samples to try and get a really big job.
Nice.
And I really just cemented my distaste for all things East Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, just driving out there. Just driving out there and back. And I was like, these are... Who are these godforsaken people that live out here?
Completely with you.
Ugh. Yeah. I'd rather live in Buckeye than out there in the East Valley.
Well, let's not push things.
Listen.
Wow. East of Harkin Shay. I don't want to know you.
Yeah.
Well, and it was... Where was I? I was like Baseline and like
and who
Mesa
gives a
Drive.
Shit? Yeah.
Right. One of those things out that 28-lane highway that, good God, just full of fucking cars. Who are all those people? And why are they here?
I like to say 178th Avenue, and I can't even finish that sentence because I'm not coming to your house.
Can we get some of those people raptured or something? Yeah.
Like, is there a date set for that? Can we suggest
I'm sure
that?
It would be lovely if some of those people weren't there, but...
I am.
I hope the rapture... does eliminate some cars too. Like I hope it's after a, you know.
That's true. Because what are they going to do in the wherever they're raptured to if they don't have transportation?
Well, they shouldn't need it.
Should take their car too. Don't take the car too.
You got to start again from the bottom. At the Rapture Starbucks. You're going to have
Pennsylvania
race relations day all over again.
Happy don't be a racist day, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh.
No. To one and all.
I looked at the folks today at the Starbucks that I went to initially and said, good luck, as I left with your day.
Did they
understand?
Yeah. They closed at like 2:30, I think.
Something
but like that. I was like, good luck with your afternoon. Yeah. I hope it goes well.
Stop being racist. Right.
Yeah. And then all I could think was, you know, as a racist, was sitting there, not that I am, but like it was a racist thought. Like it felt like it because I looked around and there were like five black people in there and I'm like, are they plants?
To see if they call the cops.
And I don't mean like, you know,
like a secret shopper.
Like a fern. No, but I mean like they...
like a fern.
What? A plant.
Where do black people come from?
That was one homonym I was not even slightly confused by.
Anyway. But I did. Wow. Only because I was sitting there and I thought, well, this is just really close to like time. It just felt very... Maybe are they going to be presenting? Are they right? Like what? How are they going to do this? I think it's weird.
Oh yeah,
like,
I don't either. I just picture it like
immersion
the Office
therapy.
It's going to be
like what in the fuck is going on?
It's
going
to be Michael Scott from The Office teaching them about race, making them wear the signs of what nationality, and you have to guess what nationality they are.
Or like just being
what
good to people,
show
and
that
then
is.
They'll
what
like kiss.
Show.
He'll kiss someone, and yeah,
Christ Lord, that show's funny. So she gave up. What'd you do?
No, I did nothing. I was waiting on a picture to finish the story. We're over it. Move on.
Well, yeah, I'm still going to get to the picture. I got multiple things trying to happen over here with equipment that's not
very busy. Very busy.
Yeah.
Let's see. In the lab, I don't know. It's
2 weeks.
2 weeks. I know.
One thing.
Feels like
Fortnite.
I've done a lot of stuff.
Two things.
We went to Les Mis. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Did you hear the people sing?
We were going. I did. Well, kind of. I heard Fabio sing because, honest to God, one of the people that was in there looked like Fabio. I couldn't take anybody seriously.
Oh, one of the actors?
Big shock of blonde hair and like long and...
Wait, who did he play though?
Angelique?
Jean Valjean?
Margarine?
No.
I can't believe it's not butter.
I'll find who it was. Cause
was
I can't
it Marius?
Was it... Got the student revolution guy?
Oh, okay.
I'm making all the right noises.
Yeah, no, I know, but I wouldn't.
Do you hear the people?
Yeah, and I couldn't listen to. Oh, okay. Because he came out, and I, honest to God, I couldn't. I was like, what?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
That's right, love.
I'm okay with that.
I can go
slightly. Oh, no, it really took me
to a
weird place.
No, I'm super okay
with that. Oh, my God. What's happening?
They're French. You're lucky they made
it. Bonsoir.
Where was that? That you saw that?
Oh, I'm like, that was French.
Oh, is it the locally?
Yeah, Gamage.
Okay.
And it was actually, I've seen it a few times, and it was the one that I didn't like the most.
Oh, wow.
It just was not good. Like the, I don't know. There was a lot about it that was like, oh, that happened.
You know,
and it wasn't just Fabio.
The longer I go without seeing Les Mis, the less it makes sense that I've never seen it.
I love it.
It's one of my absolute favorites. Yeah. I was very disappointed that just schedule-wise I could not fit that in.
I can listen to it day and night and then tomorrow all over again. But I've never seen it.
And then once you see it, then just take a listen to Urinetown because Urinetown, so funny, such a great satire, and they are just after Les Mis the entire show. Like at one point they do a song and the girl goes, "That's a lot of exposition." Nothing kills a show like a lot of exposition. And you realize, like, the whole first act of Les Mis is just exposition. And as soon as you say it, she's like, Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't really get to a plot way into that show. You got to go through like five towns and six sets of characters, and then finally you're like, present day.
Who are these fucking people? Yeah.
Too busy looking down.
And when it ends, she's like,
and adding 5, 6, 5, 6, 3, 0, 1. You know, whatever it is. But they were, it just cracks me up that they're like doing out.
Oh, 2, 4, 6, 0, 1. 2, 4, 6.
They're just throwing out numbers right and left, and you're like, well, I don't know what's happening.
Well, that's a prisoner number.
I know. Right. I know. I'm joking. I am. But it was really.
I guess
not
I'm a little
very
sensitive about
that. I guess, my God.
A student rebellion in the mid
70s. It just really wasn't that good.
We're really siding with Monsieur Valjean here, I think.
But aside from that.
Well, then I'm glad I missed it.
Yeah, just working.
Yeah, me too.
It's gonna be a bumpy night. The hell was that? Sounded very Betty Davis when you said that. I'm glad I missed it.
I don't. Just welcome back, wine. I've been sober
for
too long.
Is that what we're doing tonight? Are we overpronouncing everything?
Yeah, just go for it.
All right.
There was a segment. I laughed the other day overpronouncing things. There was a segment on, I guess it was a CBS Sunday Morning, and it was a story about Steve Martin and Martin Short do their touring show and all over.
It's on Netflix, I saw.
Oh, yeah, because Mom watched it. She said I haven't watched it yet, but anyway, this was a story about it, and they asked how they'd met, like some 30, 35 years ago, and they were doing, when they were doing Three Amigos, the movie Three Amigos with Chevy Chase and Martin Short and Steve Martin. I guess the first day on set, Steve Martin was walking to wherever he was supposed to be on set, and all of a sudden behind him, he heard somebody goes, "I wish I had bought my bicycle. It's a lovely day for a ride." And he didn't know, and he turns around, it's Martin Short doing something about Catherine Hepburn. "Wish I had brought my bicycle."
"You're my knight in shining armor, Norman, and I love you."
"You old poop."
Oh, I'll go to pun.
It took you till then.
That's good. I like it. You had me a poop.
Oh, yeah. Golden. Well, there we go.
Suddenly, it sounds awfully inappropriate.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Well, you were still on Marty. You had a great week.
We're making great progress.
It was lovely.
Yeah. We've been really 35 minutes on the air, and we've made it to Marnie.
Student rebellions of the
and nobody's
mid
done anything.
19th century. What the fuck century did that happen in?
18th century.
Yeah, it's like early 8th and 19th century. Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
My bicycle.
Well, I'm glad we figured that out.
The hoopty freaking do.
David. We're ready for the next segment.
Good Schitt's Creek references right here in play.
I love that show. I worked. They made me come in for day shifts. I nearly died.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because you were teaching or what?
What did you do wrong?
Yeah, there was education. Mm-hmm. There was education stuff. There was and the lovely lady that runs this one program. God, Lord, love a duck. She's always on me that I schedule myself for 3 days and I only like want to do 1 day of education. I'm being as passive aggressive as I possibly can. And I feel like one of these days I'm going to have to be like, when will you understand that working 2 days in a row almost kills me? Like two mornings getting up and I want to put a bullet through my head. And then the second day, we were done at like 1:00. But we had, and I was like, oh my God, I can go home and just lay down and sleep until the show. Well, no, that day we had to put in our schedules. So we usually do it Tuesday mornings, every fourth Tuesday. Well, since we were all going to be in all these different classes that they had going on, we bumped it to 4:00 in the afternoon. So I had to like set an alarm to make sure that if I dozed off, I could get up, go to the computer, put in a schedule. And then I tried to be nice because we've been having trouble with this computer scheduling and like offer myself if somebody's computer wasn't working, they could reach out to me and I would, you know. I would log in as them and put in a schedule for them, or vice versa, because a couple times it's been mine that hasn't worked. I could not stay awake. I was my head was like hitting the desk because I'm like, anybody need help? How? And then you guys were like, I'm not sure if I can make it. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be alive in 2 hours. Like, and sure enough, I think I woke up at like 15 minutes after we canceled it or something.
Yeah.
And then somebody said nope, and I was like, oh God! Did I ask a question where a positive response needed me or a negative response? And I was too tired to like look at what I texted to find out what nope meant. So I was like, "Well, sorry, I missed it. He was like, no, you asked me if I had any problems, and I said nope. I'm like, glad I could help. Because you know how you just get the banner across the front of the screen? The fingerprint was too exhausting to like press down and open it up and find out what my text had been that nope was the answer.
Well.
All right.
She was done.
No, but it all worked out. It's like, you had messaged me in that thread that we were talking about on Facebook about canceling the show, and you'd posted something, but what your post to me didn't completely tell me you weren't. So that's when I text you directly, and you're like, no, I'm busy doing shirts. And I'm like, oh, he's dead, whatever.
Well, because I was simultaneously complaining about children. I was trying to get like a 50 shirt order done. And every third shirt, I had to stop and go yell at a child. And so that was really impeding my progress. Because, you know, it goes a lot faster if you just keep working on the project instead of stopping and walking away and, you know.
And you haven't gotten into the Kathy Lee Gifford kind of...
God, no. I can't get them to shut the fuck up so I can do the work, let alone teach
them. Teach them. Okay,
well, earlier in the show, you referenced a clean pool. It doesn't take long to just drown the fuckers. And then you just could produce shirts all day long.
Now you're getting a little
from
crazy.
From prison.
Mm-hmm. Right? Prison.
But still, the orders can get out.
Murdering the children is the way to go.
Maybe just a little waterboarding. Maybe that's where I'm going.
I'm not a porter.
Look what kind of show it is. Whee! I mean,
I'm just going with emotional abuse at the
what
moment.
Have you done?
Emotional abuse. Okay, in reference
remember,
to.
Remember, emotional wounds never heal. Don't hit them. Just be mean to them.
Yeah.
Referencing back to the Not This Summer comment made earlier, there is Dean and I wearing the Not This Summer t-shirts.
Oh my God.
At Stacey's last Thursday.
Lovely.
Yeah, well, I had to explain to people because they're like, what does that mean? Like, well, we get you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Also, I think reference to the theater stuff you were all talking about. I know you saw this on my Facebook, but I thought this cracked me up.
Yeah.
For those of you who watch Bob's Burgers, the intro of the show, every single episode, if you're looking at the screen, the store to the right of Bob's Burgers has a new tenant every single episode.
Oh, wow.
And they always have fantastic names, and Lin-Manuel's Verandas was the name of that one. I thought that was quite cute.
It's very clever.
Mm-hmm. Here's the video of the woman in the pool. This is just wrong. It's like a sick... She's sitting...
Ew.
She's sitting there, shaving her legs at the pool.
She's just dry shaving them too, girl.
Well, she puts the razor in the water.
She's not. Okay.
Yeah, but there's no shave butter. No.
But I'm like, she's just using chlorine as lubricant.
Not even a bar of soap over there.
How tragic.
But you don't know that, actually. She might have a bar of soap somewhere.
I saw no such.
Is that like a hotel pool? Or where is that?
I'm not exactly sure where it is.
It's disgusting.
But yeah, just wrong. Just wrong that she was even doing this. And apparently it caused outrage.
And there's not a cop around to tase her. You know what I mean?
Well, she's white, too. So.
Sorry.
This is in Florida. Oh, no.
I forgot the rules.
Hotel pool in Florida.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, there's your answer. Hotel pool, Florida.
That's the classiest thing that pool's seen in a long time, honestly.
Probably.
No, gross.
Just a guess.
Oh. Ew. I'm going to vomit. Yuck.
And then you like go swimming hours later, not knowing what happened, and like stubbles floating by.
Oh, come on!
See, this is why. Gross. This is why I freak out about a clean pool.
If they got a good sand filter, they'll be fine. A skimmer will take that. Right
of all the chores in the world that I don't do, cleaning my pool is probably my favorite chore that I do.
When did Greg Stanton resign?
All the time.
Last week.
And why do I not know this?
It was
7 hours ago.
No. It was for good reasons.
Because he's running for Congress.
He's running for Congress.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
No, this was...
And he had to resign. I think it's a city statute that he had to resign in order to run for
a thing. Okay. No. I just was like,
because he's running to take Sinema's place. Sinema's running to... Is it Senate she's going for? What is she going for?
Yeah.
We're not sure.
Well, then there was some stuff
this or that. Something.
Yeah. There was something... Some stuff on Facebook last night that I thought John McCain died.
Nope.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
So I was like hurrying to Google. Because,
but I mean, just they're saying it's going to be real soon. I mean, he has
the same kind of brain cancer a friend of mine did a couple years ago. And he went from standing in front of us joking and laughing to dead in, I don't know, 8 weeks.
Wow.
Like fast.
What you may have seen was the last night on HBO, they started airing the movie with regards to him. What is it? Something Bell. There's a the As the belt, not as the bell tolls.
Oh, for whom the bell tolls.
Something like that is the title of the HBO series. They were talking about it today on MSNBC, and they showed a clip of it, which I didn't make it in time to see any of it. But they were talking about how they were, the people who did the documentary mm-hmm. of him, how amazing they said it was to sit in Sedona at his mm-hmm. cabin with him and just have him talk and tell stories of stuff. Now, granted, we all agree that we don't completely agree with Mr. McCain and all of his policies and everything. Yeah. But anybody who's
been... I
watched
that whole thing and it was really phenomenal.
Anybody who's been through what he's been through... Yeah. And if you don't know much about him being a prisoner of war and all the stuff, that's part of why he can't raise his hands above his mm-hmm. shoulders. He has they were broken multiple times and not healed correctly.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
But he's been through a lot. But they were like... It was amazing just to sit there and talk to him and... Just like everything, and I'll have to watch it too. I'll have to see.
And occasionally, he does the right thing.
Well, you know, in the
like this.
Occasionally, he's politically brave.
Where everything kind of turned for me with him, and Grant, agree with his politics 100%. But he has tried to be bipartisan on so many things,
right?
And when you see the list of shit. At the end of that he's been a part of, it's really quite something. But it was what I went as for Halloween in 2008, and it was that stupid fucking bitch from Lakeville, Minnesota, who stood up and had, I went and got a blonde wig and jacked the fuck out of it and put a comb in it because it looked like she had rolled right out of bed in Lakeville, Minnesota.
Yeah, the one that asked if
I can't trust him. You know, he's one of them. He's a Muslim.
Yeah,
an Arab or whatever she
or
said.
Or an Arab. That's what it was. An Arab. Like, nope, and no. And
she must have said Arab, though.
Arab.
I think she did.
Right. And the look on his face when he was at that town hall, and he was like, yeah, no. No. And it didn't take him, he didn't skip a beat.
No.
And I think he was a seasoned enough.
Very much.
My theory on that 08 election was that it took an ugly turn, and that, you know, because of what's mm-hmm. that little toad's name?
Which one?
The one behind the scenes of Bush's campaign, that little fucker. Toby, what's his name, played him in the movie. Oh, God, he was like the evil overlord for years. Not the vice president, but the one that ran the campaign
Janie?
And did all the smears. He's the one that started
Rove?
Carl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
That little toad. Yeah. So, and you could tell that, you know, Carl Rove had started off by bashing Ann Richards. Like, that was the start of his career, was getting elected governor of Texas. And you kind of had the feeling that because, and they shit on McCain in the 2000 primaries about his having his wife being a drug addict and the kid being black and all that stuff. And then just horrible shit.
Okay.
And I think he thought in 2008 he was going to be able to run just a dignified campaign. Like he could put W and the little toad behind mm-hmm. him. And it just took, it instantly took that ugly turn. And you could see his disappointment, kind of, that he just was not going to be in an election about mm-hmm. policies where he could be the elder statesman mm-hmm. and kind of win those debates on experience mm-hmm. and service. And it really just went ugly.
There were
so fast.
And so many things about it.
And then, you know, he was going to pick Joe Lieberman as his running mate, and he picked Palin, and then he caved. You know what I mean? He didn't stay true to himself. He's one of those people that you root for him because he did so much for our country, and then at the same time you're like, come on, fucker.
Yeah.
He spoke at the gay gentleman that was on flight 93, or the flight that crashed
right. Mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke at his funeral as like an American hero because he had done so much bashing of gays in the military and so much bashing of gays and then went and stood at the and did the eulogy mm-hmm. at that man's funeral and had all those nice things to say and was kind of like apologetic forever mm-hmm. like doubting the patriotism of a gay American and then he turns around and like shits all over everybody and like the marriage equality
right,
and like
right,
job
right.
rights and I'm like okay pick a side Kirsten.
Sure. Thank you. I was just going to say, oh my God. Look,
every time you
emulating.
Think, all right, he's on the right side, then he just shits on something again. You're like, what are you doing?
Right.
But that really pissed me off after going to that man's funeral. Randy Bingham, maybe his name?
Randy Bingham. Yeah, I think you're right.
Speaking of...
Mark Bingham.
Randy Bingham
is a local photographer. Like, that's not Randy.
Also not dead.
Not bad.
It's good to stop that rumor before he starts spreading.
Speaking of Kirsten, and you'll have to look up potentially on how big of a supporter HRC nationally is of cinema. I don't recall. But here's an interesting little tidbit from this past weekend. Met for the first time, somebody who is with the national HRC group, whatever you want, however you want to call it. But he's here for a while helping to get Arizona's HRC shit together, to get voting registrations, to get all, you know, all the things in line. Obviously, the midterms are coming up. Well, we didn't dwell too much on the fact that he's with HRC, but as the evening progressed, with conversation amongst several people, and this person drank more and more, the lips became a little more loose, and at one point he made a comment, because I asked him something about the fundraiser he had done the night before with and for cinema.
Sure. And just a little information, the HRC has endorsed her for U.S. Senate here in Arizona, and apparently she's got a perfect HRC score for her service in Congress, so... Of all the horrible shit that she's done, gays are not the ones.
Well, then that makes what I'm about to tell you even more interesting.
Okay, let's do it.
Because, again, as vodka flowed and conversation went on, I inquired about a fundraising event that they had just done the night before, and I said, oh, we clearly have some friends in common. I mentioned a few names, and yada, 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 we all did.
Look at your name.
And he says, like, leans over and he goes, honestly, we really can't stand her. And I'm like, oh, okay. So is that... He said we.
No. Yeah.
Like, so apparently they're just running out there to raise her money to get her in there, but they don't really care for her.
But either way, we can't do the Hillary thing.
Right.
This is not a time to Jill Stein this bullshit. That's who we're voting for.
Vote in the primary. If we can nominate somebody else, let's do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vote
but she's going to win.
Primary.
She's going to win the primary.
She is. She's got the name recognition.
And when it comes time to it, all this bullshit has to stop. Write her, do stuff. Don't do the Susan Sarandon thing.
I would love to just sit, be, like, if she had a, and I know that she has done these coffee things.
Well, you went off on a totally different tangent than I expected with this.
What's that?
I was just making a comment about
the HRC downplaying her is we're not really, that kind of shit spreads around, and then the gays are like, well, she doesn't really like the gays. It's that whole Susan Sarandon.
Suddenly
all of a sudden, white women in Philadelphia are voting for Trump.
She doesn't know what she likes.
I know, but you just got to stop, because, she does only vote like 80-some% of the time, but it's still 80-some% of the time.
There's
and she
a great
really
chance your alternative
for...
is Kelly Ward. Ward
is your
alternative.
So from here on
so
in,
put on the
we
fucking
are just
Kirsten Sinema shirt
and just get the fuck over it. Not
here, I'll wear a half shirt.
Yeah, it's okay.
Could you make one for me?
A half shirt? I'd love to.
And I don't mean a half shirt. I mean like a half shirt. Like... A half shirt this way, and then I can wear something else on this side.
Right. You don't have to love her.
You don't want
but you can't. You can't be like, oh, Jesus, how do we end up with Kelly Ward because of this kind of bullshit talk? Like, you just she's what we're getting.
I think it's fair to have an opinion on it.
It is fair to have an opinion, but we're running. We've seen what half baked, she's not pure enough bullshit did already once. Like, we've seen where that trail leads. The purity test has got to stop.
Yeah. I think she frightens me a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Kelly Ward frightens me more.
We are way more.
With these
I
was just making a comment that a drunk person from HRC slipped and made a comment that they weren't all for. That's all I was trying to get.
And that's
out
okay.
There.
You know, she was on Pod Save America not too terribly long ago, and they did an interview with her. And I was listening to the whole thing, going, "Who? What the fuck? This lady? I'm gonna have to vote for this fucking lady? God."
Yeah.
Like, I don't care for her in any capacity that I know of her either.
Yeah, I mean, she's the...
But in November, if she's the name, she's the name.
She's the name. Because Claire McCaskill, she may not vote with us all the time, but when it's time to, like, get in lockstep, they do it. And that's...
Right. And when it's time to confirm or not confirm judges and confirm or not confirm cabinet seats.
And when they start voting to ban abortion and you're like, oh, but I really didn't like Kirsten Sinema, that she wasn't absolutely perfect.
Right.
I'm going to run for mayor.
Yeah. All right.
Perfectly
fine. Okay. I have 10 days.
I'd vote for you.
To run or to file?
Thanks.
To file.
Okay.
And we all know the local election is
the
most
live in
important.
The right city, but I will vote for you somehow.
What's your platform, Ryer? Pretzels for everyone.
Just 10. Whatever you can get, all the pretzels.
Frizzy pretzels for all.
But I do like Jenny's idea that we should do a segment called Florida or Fake News.
I kind of thought we did that.
I thought we did that once before.
Mm-hmm. Did we?
Yeah, mm-hmm. years ago.
Also, that segment feels like it takes a lot of production because someone has to
write a fake story.
Or write mm-hmm. the fake
story. Or find two different stories and just read it and you decide. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the above.
It involves a production meeting that nobody's really going
to
do.
Nobody's going to go. So we can barely make it to this 3 hours. Yeah. What makes you think we work ahead?
You got to forget. Because
we don't.
Congratulations. Harrison is getting ready to go into the new office.
Oh, very cool.
Her own practice. Right.
I hope she figured out her air conditioning and all that other stuff that she
Make sure it's well ventilated. I see that you're painting. Open a window, right? Harrison.
Or just enjoy the contact high. I mean, either way,
your body needs oxygen, too. Yeah. You can have the contact high and the oxygen, I
Nothing
promise.
Makes people dumber faster than huffing. Like, I'm just telling you. That's the fastest way to stupid town.
That's fantastic.
Don't huff!
No huffing!
Okay.
Did we cover you?
Sure, I did nothing.
Okay.
He worked all the time. I didn't.
Same song.
Still looking.
Oh, yeah. I think I told you about day shift and falling asleep. That was the excitement.
Oh, sure. We did talk about
that. And my 14 days of sobriety. Unintentional.
Nope. Poughkeepsie, are you there?
Is the caller there?
That'd be you. You're Poughkeepsie.
No, just channel surfing yesterday. Not a lot happened over the past week. But I got involved yesterday, Memorial Day. Got involved with the channel surfing. There's not a lot on. But I got roped into two things that I was very... one I had forgotten about. Adam Ruins Everything, that show where Adam Cullen, whatever his last name is, I forgot, but he's the one that dissects history and tells you what really happened as opposed to the popular story of what happened, of like
kind of like Hamilton,
how the Panama Canal came to be because of the land purchase and swap and all that bullshit that happened with that. I did it very interesting about how different things happen and where the anatomy of the how it was originally believed with the Catholic Church dismissed all of the astronomers' decisions and thoughts about how the solar system worked and the Catholicism didn't want it, and it's just very interesting how that whole show. But there's an animated version of it too. I prefer the other one where he's in it, but there's two of them. It's called History Reanimated or Reanimated History, whichever.
Oh, cute.
So I saw a few of those, but it parlayed right into a 3-hour documentary on the History Channel about Vietnam. Now,
a little light viewing.
Oh, and I wasn't going to watch it, but you get in the first 15 minutes and I'm kind of sucked into this story because obviously being one who has been paying a lot of attention in the past couple of years with regards to, the movie, which I still haven't seen, but the movie The Post, all of the papers and how the story got out about all of the stuff with that. And then Nixon and his resignation, like all of that whole time period, I'm learning so much more about it, what all was happening. So very interesting to have watched the documentary. Now, the documentary it was the History Channel, I think it was called Vietnam in HD. It was a lot. I guess there were a lot of embedded reporters with them. And then I guess a lot of the guys that were there had cameras with them. Just happened to have like Super 8 millimeter cameras or whatever with them. And like they were shooting film in helicopters and all over the place. So there was a lot of footage that they said they had gathered from around the world. Like crowdsourced footage.
Yeah, people surprisingly brought cameras.
Cameras, right. So there
and
was,
I don't know if it's because of the new, like, more portable cameras than it used to be. Like, it was the size.
I would
like
assume.
They turned into iPhone size. Like, they were more hang around your neck, little
kind
jobbers.
Of, yeah, they were just about yay big.
Yeah, like, it went from the whole, like, look down into it, shoot
well, there
downward.
Were, no, there were still down. Cameras, but then they were, like, back in the late 60s, Canon Super 8 film, that was a small camera
like
as well.
Oh, home movies.
Movies. There were pictures as well, but... and then they interviewed a lot of the people, including the woman who started the POW/MIA organization because her husband was the top-ranking military person held as a POW in Vietnam. I want to say his last name was Bob Purcell, I think was his name. But anywho, it was very interesting. And I will tell you, and I know my mom's listening and everybody else, I don't think... As many times as I've watched different things about it, and it was very interesting to see the footage that they've got because, again, it was literally filmed taken on the field at all of these places where all this shit was happening. Mm. I'm just never going to understand it. I don't think there's any way I'm ever going to understand Which I know a lot of people are in the same boat. Like, why the fuck did we ever go and get
fighting communism?
Yeah. Well, no, but there was that. But like, it was just a fucking mess. All of it was a mess. When they would pull things back and all this. Again, because Nixon was trying to clearly distract. And, but you know, this was in the news and that was in the news. And he's distracting from something else. Oh, dear God. And it was astonishing.
A good place to start. I'll recommend it. And I think it's on Netflix this month. It's called A Quiet American. Michael Caine, Brendan Fraser, tells the espionage part of how we got started there. Like, there's movies like Indochine. There's a lot of movies that talk about in the 50s why that started and how early that story starts as a spy story, and then what's the fake. There's a bit of fake news that got us involved in the war, like the bombing of a ship or something like that. There's the story that kind of escalates into sending more troops, and it turns out it wasn't real.
It's just a crazy story to me.
There's all these different stories that kind of play into how we got involved and the political mechanisms, machinations of how we got there, and it's all politics. Like, there is no, this person did something to this person, so we had to do this. It was... we needed to protect this peninsula to deal with this, to go with that, with North-South relations and spies in there, and it has a lot to do with the French. They play a big part in it.
It's always the French.
Yeah, and it's very strange. But if you watch the Quiet American, it has a little bit of an explanation of like how the car started rolling.
It was crazy to see. And then, of course, being on Memorial Day, it was... something I wouldn't watch just every day of the week, but it was on, it was there, and I'm like, okay,
it was a holiday,
maybe I'll get some education out of it. And I did. I learned a lot about it. It was interesting, but God.
And like all good learning, it leads to more questions. Not...
Yeah, it completely did. Yeah. I just didn't get so much of it. Like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense. Why are they doing this? Well, then why you do that? It is stupid shit. And then I literally would get up. They would talk about an area, and I would literally get up and go Google Map it to figure out, okay, where, how big of an area? What big? You know, I would look at all of it and see where they were and all of this kind of stuff. It's kind of interesting from that aspect, literally learning something. But again, you see the story and you remember all that was going on with all of that, and then obviously the Watergate break-in and all the stories that were spinning and more troops, less troops, advance.
Did you listen to Slow Burn yet?
I have not listened to you Slow Burn. Is that going to
give you Watergate? Oh, yeah, it's Watergate. So good.
Oh, and that is a fast... Oh,
super fast.
Super fast, super, super interesting. And so in the, there's a document, was maybe it was CNN that did the 70. Somebody did a, there was a documentary I watched, and somehow it focused heavily on Gerald Ford.
CNN did all the decades. They did the miniseries of the 60s, the 70s, the 80s.
I don't know if it was the one episode that I plucked out of there, or if it was the presidents, if it was the podcast about the presidents.
Oh, maybe.
But they were saying that because Ford never wanted to be president, like he never ran for anything, he was just bumped up and bumped up. Mm-hmm. He was like the Ryan Seacrest of politics.
It's a nice way to put it.
Unnaturally lucky.
Yeah. And not terribly good.
He really just wanted to heal the nation and get the fuck out. Like, I mean, eventually he did want to run and stay, and he became... But so that was why, like, the pardoning of Nixon was to, like, get this out of the way.
Right.
Where a trial and maybe some closure would have helped in a different way. But that's why the bicentennial, for those that were alive for the bicentennial, that's why that was so nuts. It turns out that was, a government program... started from the top down to get every city council, every ad campaign, just everybody in the country on that thing of like celebrate 200 years, good thoughts about America.
It's positive, it's patriotic, it's
right, and it turns out it was like a
political
PR campaign,
sure.
And it was very like Big Brother is going to organize your thoughts and like whipped us up into a state of patriotism.
We have to
because
wait
the nation
long time
was so
the
depressed.
It's not gonna
like
work.
The TV shows were also down. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, it was good times, ironically titled. You know what I mean? They loved each other, but they lived
ain't
in
ain't we lucky we got them? Yeah. Good times!
So all the shows started to have that dark tone, and so then Happy Days had to come on, and there's all those things that were just like, we need a campaign to, like, get us out of the doldrums. So you're kind of waiting for that kind of stuff to happen now, for someone to be like, or, like, during the recession 10 years ago. Hmm. Like, was somebody going to, like, just start some kind of a campaign and said they went with birther movement? But, you know, you pick and choose. Maybe it was the presidential thing that talked about the craziness of the bicentennial and how even in their wildest dreams of dreaming up this thing to like sell to local governments, they didn't realize it would take off.
Right.
Like that the whole thing when you're celebrating summer, you're celebrating this, like the tall ships coming over from, like, they didn't expect this big, they didn't think it would go that big. And yeah. When it sat back, they're like, and you can't explain it. I tell people, it's one of those things you can't explain. If you weren't alive for the bicentennial, you just can't explain how out of control nuts that summer was. Oh,
I remember.
And the whole year leading up to it, the Olympics and Bruce Jenner and what's her butt, the Dorothy Hamill, like, that's all that same year of, like, craziness and patriotism. And
well, I remember, like, every product, not from necessarily then because I would have been like 6 years old, but looking back, every manufacturer of every product had a Spirit of 76 product that came out with something was red, white, and blue,
or Bicentennial Wheaties.
Freedom, yeah.
Right. All that stuff came out.
Bicentennial Budweiser.
Like, it affected fucking Elton John. Like, it started to, like, go play. Like, what? And now I think if I was older and more cynical, like, were the older, more cynical people, like, looking at it is like, oh my god, the government, and we're in lockstep. Like, this is so, like, you know, propaganda. Where the people, like, kids were like, this is fantastic. It's fireworks all the time, and the dude in the hat keeps walking around. And
Uncle Sam,
him,
that one guy.
No, I didn't catch his name.
The flow chart.
I knew he wasn't my uncle.
I think the flow chart of cynicism and the internet kind of all go the same direction, or go this way.
Yeah, I mean, so I just, that always struck me as it's one of those things that you just can't explain to someone. Like, you'll never understand the insanity.
I remember it.
Yeah. Well, it's because you were there, honey, you're old. Talking to her across
you
the way.
Occasionally I like to chime in on this show. We know my age. I'm the same age as Marnie.
No, but I knew that you two did. You were part of the collective.
Younger than you.
Yeah. Me neither. I don't remember it.
Oh, I know what I did this week.
I'm 2 months younger than him, so I don't remember that one.
I helped Doug Wilkie get a new computer. Transferred data for him. We pronounced the time of his death of his original computer. Mm-hmm. I harvested the data.
How old was that computer?
8 years old, actually.
That's not that bad. Okay.
No, not bad. But
were you able to save all the organs?
We did. All of his data got transferred to his new laptop. But what had happened, and he would have never known this, here's a little tip for you if you're upgrading your computer. The motherboard inside, like the things that run graphic drivers and processors and all this stuff, those all have drivers too, and they needed to have been updated because he updated Windows from 7 to 10, and it won't run on that drive, so it just killed his computer completely. So if you're going to upgrade an older computer, you have to make sure that all those other little subsequent things are updated to get it to work. So anyway, but still.
See, I don't do that. I just dive right in. If it works, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm a kamikaze software upgrader. I just fucking hit yes.
Pulled his drive.
And go.
Pulled his hard drive, transferred all of his stuff up. Well, all of his Europe pictures. He had a ton of stuff. Plus, just the documents. So we've talked about external hard drives.
Is that what we're calling
porn now? No. Actually,
Is that where the emails went?
All of his schoolwork. All the schoolwork that he's been doing that he had saved. And I'm like, he's one of those people that saved everything on the desktop. Sure. So there, like, were 800 icons. Like, nope, you can't do that. You just clean this up. So he's working on cleaning stuff up and very proud of little Doug. And he admitted, and part of this was him admitting his age.
Little Doug, he remembers the bicentennial. I know how old he is.
He remembers before computers.
Oh.
I would venture to guess.
Fair.
Yeah, he did.
Like Hidden Figures before computers.
Kind of.
Or Fiona Apple before computers.
Well, we did
go somewhere in between.
Well, we did have a discussion about the time when I first met you and you became Al No Pager. Like, we were talking about technology and how the different things were and how you used to, people would freak out if you had a, like, how do you call it? What were we talking about? We were talking about grassroots efforts to make things happen, like how they do it now, obviously, with social media and everything. And he's like, kids don't understand how you did it before. Like, you had to call people? Like, you had to call individual people to start the...
And go door to door. You actually had to knock on people's door.
Depending,
I mean, people still knock at my door. I just don't answer.
And people answered their doors. That's the other part of that equation that doesn't happen anymore.
Didn't say, who's there?
Yeah.
You know, like, you didn't peek out the thing.
I'm even suspicious of the fucking UPS guy, and I order something that's delivered almost every fucking day. And he bangs on my door, and I'm always like, Who's out there?
I need a 90.
Oh, it's a UPS guy. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I learned any phrase other than, come on in, it's open, until I was like 17 or 18 years old.
Oh.
If someone knocked on the door, come on in, it's all we ever said.
Sure.
Like, you have no question as to who's at the door.
Sure. And I've never been known.
And the mailman didn't knock. He just shoved the stuff in your box and left. God bless him.
Well, there you have it.
Was the phrase still? Come on in, it's open.
Put it in my box.
Come on in, it's open.
The milkman, the mailman, whatever.
Lying in wait.
Just put it in the box. What's in the box?
I don't want to know your middle name.
That's what she said. I've never been known as an impatient person.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there a punchline?
Just going somewhere?
But, yeah.
Hurry up! Tell a story!
Back in the day when the phone, when you would call someone and it was a busy signal, fuck that.
Oh. That would ruin your whole goddamn day.
It could ruin everything. And that actually I still learned happens then,
if you call my house because I never set up the voicemail. So if somebody's actually on the like landline.
Neither did Stacy's bar either, and I made them do that, or I told them they should do it.
No, oh fucking leave it busy. If the bar phone is busy, then it's fucking busy there and go.
Well, no, but they need to at least have a message. You've reached Stacy's. Right. Here's our hours, because most people just want to find out when your fucking hours are.
Yep.
So it just says, at this time, there's nobody.
Especially when you had news. I learned then. And then you had to keep redialing?
Yes, I learned then that I had OCD. That's where I learned my OCD.
Will there ever be a faster way?
Wait, we're coming up on a one.
Perseveration and impatience. I was like, ah! I did like the little press one. I could do that very fast.
Oh, when our first phone that had a redial button, I didn't know what to do. That was Christmas.
Oh, good God.
Oh, my God.
I had forgotten.
The first touch tone phone that had the redial.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was something big.
Praise Jesus. Because that made stocking more fun.
I thought for sure it was going to make me win more radio contests.
Right.
Oh,
that's
totally.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
We have redial now. We're going to win the radio thing.
Exactly the point.
That's how I won a Rod Stewart tape. Anyway.
Tape.
Did you win?
Totally. Did you win?
Is that a win?
Also,
after a certain year, are you still winning?
So who had? Because you know, now we just walk around.
Was it if you think I'm sexy
anywhere?
No, then you're winning. That album's good.
But
no,
okay, who had the longer either plug to the wall to where you could take the phone all over the place,
or the receiver to the
receiver cord
down the block?
Both.
Let's just say it. If you were rich enough to have the extended cord and the 90-foot wraparound cord that would knock over lamps, tables, people's drinks. Old women.
Sorry, Mom.
Young women.
Yes.
Any
women
human
for the drink
and you absolutely you just did not care.
No.
Your life is not as important as me sitting as far away from the plug as I possibly can for no apparent reason.
I can.
Convenient
or pacing.
No one.
Pacing on the plug is always my favorite.
Whilst yelling.
Or flipping the cord like
and
a jump rope.
Being completely
because
annoyed.
That's about where they're talking.
Yeah.
She's almost done. Because there was more in my story.
And yet being completely annoyed because you're still tethered to it.
Yeah.
You're still though you could go like
and then
the
pulling up the antenna
store.
And walking unencumbered to different parts of your house, but not the basement.
Yeah.
All the way to 10 steps into the front lawn.
Yep.
For a private conversation that only all your neighbors could hear.
Good times. How did we get here? How did we get here?
Well, I love it.
When I first moved, I know I told you this story before. When
like 7 hours into a conversation about technology and
when I moved in with my mom's parents, when she moved to Arizona, they still had the original phones that they'd had since like 1965. Wall phone with the dial, and grandma had the phone in her room.
Perhaps a wall
phone that like you couldn't take off.
Oh, no, just the wall phone on the phone with like a 2.5-foot cord, like a commercial cord. So I did the math, and I figured out that how much they'd been, because it was a lease on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
When I did the math for my grandfather and told him how much he'd spent on that phone since 1965, and we could just buy a cordless phone for $40 at Walmart or wherever, and then he could walk around. Oh, he was...
Life changed.
Yeah, very much so. He's realized how much... He'd paid like $40,000 for two phones since 1965 when I moved in 88. So we changed all this out. Well, then, of course, now we've got the brand new, the wireless phone with the big antenna on it. Well, you could take it outside, like if he was on the back patio, but because it was cordless, it immediately mean he had to talk louder.
Right.
And then if he found that it was long distance and cordless...
Even louder.
Even louder.
Right. And if they had an accent, then even louder.
Oh, he wouldn't.
Because if you had to speak to anyone who had any kind of an accent...
Grandpa never talked to anybody with an accent.
It just makes it easier.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everyone,
Russian, not deaf.
Everyone appreciates it. I'm just here to tell you, all the people with accents appreciate you talking louder to
them.
I'll
bet. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
100% satisfied.
100% of them.
Yeah.
Are satisfied with the service. Yeah.
You know who else are satisfied?
What?
Our listeners.
Oh, my God, they're
both
thrilled.
Both at this point.
Oh, my God, they're thrilled.
Do we have another segment?
We do. It's a segment. Gosh. She never has a second cup at home.
Oh, my God.
We're drinking today, babe.
Oh, by the way, somebody told me over the weekend, I can't recall who it is, told me that they missed us not doing heavily drinking shows. And I said, well, get ready. We'll do one soon.
Buttercup.
Maybe not right now.
We did a champagne show a couple years.
But the champagne show, if you listen back to the second, is it the end of the first hour? That was the second hour.
Just giggling.
Oh, dear God. We were... I laughed so hard listening back to it. Uh-huh. It was so funny. I didn't plan on it, but I was listening for a cue to happen on the repeat shows, and I just chimed in to figure out where we were. Oh, dear God. We were just... It was very funny.
We're silly.
Little champagne got there. Well, let's see how this works for us, huh? How about this?
Obsession.
Are you obsessed? Is it keeping you up at night? Do you find yourself constantly making references only to be met with blank stares?
Obsession.
This segment is for you.
Obsession.
Whether it's musicals, mowers, Motown, Subarus, or Sondheim, it's time to share your obsession.
Obsession.
With the show, with Clayton McKee.
Oh, my heavens. Kat, let's start with you with an obsession.
Jenny's this is still a segment?
Yep.
All right.
You created it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I create things and then immediately hate them.
Right.
Well, I think you're one of those people that creates it and then you hand it off to somebody else and then you're done with it.
Right. Go away. It's done. Well, yeah, that's why bartending's so great. I spend all the time, I put it in the glass, and then I don't give a shit about it ever again. You throw it on the floor for all I care. You paid for it. It's yours. I don't care.
Right.
All right. So, apparently, accidentally, my obsession is black women.
Mm, okay.
I know.
All right.
I know.
Okay.
Well, let it go. Yeah, it's Al's too. Yeah.
No, listen...
No, Al's is black men, yeah, so there's...
Yeah. Sure, but different. I feel like this obsession is different.
Slightly.
Because I feel like we are about to see, finally, black women doing amazing things. Mm. So we had the woman who was nominated for to be the Democratic candidate for governor.
Correct.
Right.
First African-American woman ever.
Yep.
Ever.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous.
I love hearing her give a speech. She to
I
me
haven't heard
I equate her a little bit to Obama in the
I can't remember
every,
her name now.
Everything I can't remember either. Every time
we're
she's
gonna know it,
every time probably. She speaks, it's like inspirational and uplifting. I feel like when I hear her talk. And that's not one of those things like you're saying, oh, they're so she speaks well.
Stacey Abrams. Her name.
Mm-hmm. I just get a kick. I enjoy her. I like listening to her. I think she's inspirational. She's an uplifting, positive person. Just nice. When I hear her speak, that's just me.
Yeah, and I have not heard her speak yet, so I'm looking.
Well, I encourage you to do it.
No, I'm excited. I haven't. I just haven't. Kind of walked away from some news, except for anything in print.
I'm very excited about her story, but actually, the thing that kind of led this to be my obsession is podcasting, and I started realizing that some of the new
I've heard about podcasting.
Right, podcasting. It's a thing that people do.
I didn't know.
Some of the new podcasts and some of my new favorite podcast hosts. Happen to be, as it turns out.
Well, thank you, Kat.
Not these people.
Oh, I see. My bad. I misunderstood where you're going with.
No,
that.
Some of my new favorite people and my favorite, like kind of perspectives that they're giving me. Like I'm driving along, going, I totally hadn't thought about it that way. Okay. Happen to be black women. So there's Kara Brown, who's on Keep It, which is a Crooked Media podcast. It's basically here's what I figured out from the Pod Save America people. They basically copied our show, but they made different podcasts about it. So get this.
They stole our joke recently. I sent you a message about it.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I missed that message.
I forgot what he was talking about. So I just acknowledged it and moved on.
Okay, what was the joke that they stole from us?
Go ahead, I'm going to look it up.
Okay, you look it up. So here's what happened. Pod Save America is basically our headline segment. Keep It is our entertainment segment.
Okay.
And then Love It or Leave It is the shit that happens in hour three.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So they've got like their business news. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then they've got their entertainment, which if you're not listening to Keep It, you need to immediately. You'll love it.
Okay.
Because I feel like the guy on there, Lewis, is kind of you. So if you like listening to yourself, you're going to like it a lot.
Weird. He'll be right.
He's like ringing endorsement.
He's like an Oscar savant.
He's been on
different things, I'm sure. But now he's on this podcast and is very funny. And Ira Madison, I don't fucking know. He was on MTV. He did other shit. I don't care. But Kara Brown on that show is so smart. She was a writer for Grown-ish. She was a writer for Jezebel.
Yes. And say her name one more time for me.
Kara Brown. Kara with Brown. A K.
Yes.
Traditional spelling.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I found... because I had kind of a deficit in my podcast listening... I had more time to listen than I had podcasts to fill it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so then I found a podcast called So Many White Guys, which I was like, what is this about? And it turns out...
Can I guess?
It's not about white guys, no.
I was just going to say that. It's probably not about white guys at all.
But the hosts of that podcast are... It's just kind of a like a reimagined Two Dope Queens podcast, which were some very, very funny black ladies that, you know, kind of a topical entertainment, politics-y kind of a thing. So, yeah, so that's my current obsession.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just subscribed.
Good job.
Because I had heard, they keep talking about it, and I've heard the interviews with her, and I like her, and then the Oscar guy was funny, because he is Sheldon Cooper on that topic. Holy crap.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I listened to that podcast all through Oscar season. I was like, I kept, like, meaning to tell you about it.
Yeah, he was on a couple times. They were hitting him with trivia that I'm like, wow, that is inside baseball.
Oh, he was on Love It or Leave It a couple of times.
I think
that they did a lot.
But he's been on Pod Save too. Yeah. And I kind of wish you could see pictures. I kind of wish when the show came up, they would show you what the hosts look like. Because sometimes I want to see a face.
Oh yeah,
with
you
name.
Have to like really go in and Google.
Or you have to, and they say their name so fast, I don't know who they are. Like so, like the third time through, I'm like, oh, I like when she's on. Like I recognize her voice, but like I have no idea who she is. And you don't know which one's talking.
Okay.
That's the other thing is you don't know like when they have if it's all guys. Most time you can't tell when one guy switches. You know, until you really get tuned to their voices, like. So, what you obsessed with, Menara?
Menorah.
not close. No, didn't make it that time.
Mazel tov.
There's an A, there's an M.
L'chaim. Very nice. Oh Lord. Well, I have a couple of obsessions, but I think I didn't even say the word obsessions right. So
have some more coffee.
Yeah, maybe I should. Maybe I will. You don't know.
Maybe you're not awake enough yet.
Maybe. So one of them was going to be funny, but I can't find the.
Oh, really? The You're going to start with funny now?
No.
Sorry.
You want some water?
No.
Look, you've killed Val.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Val Kilmer.
Ooh, she had a long run.
So Amina had put something on Facebook in the Book of Face that. I was actually astounded by kind of, I think it's rather than obsession, it's like a being horrified by something. And that's that, you know, first of all, there were video games back in the day that started, you know, the whole, they have like rape video games. They have video games about being in war that are so realistic that it's just fucking silly. Like it just doesn't, it's astounding.
That hasn't stopped. They're still out there.
That hasn't stopped. You're absolutely correct. That hasn't stopped.
We have that argument weekly with my kid.
Oh, I can believe it.
Why can't I play that? Because we said no.
But it's so awful. Like, I mean, it just, it really kind of blows my mind. But now there, and the fact that people are astounded that there would be outrage over this is a little too much. Over the horrendous active shooter video game that lets children play the role of a gunman on a murder spree at school. I want to not be shocked anymore by things because you kind of look up and you go, come on. Well, of course they did. Or, duh. Like, why would you think they wouldn't? But there's something about it when someone says, I can make money off that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do this.
The levels of sick individuals in that pipeline of ideas just.
For real. Like, it takes me, players can choose to play either a SWAT team member or a gunman that's in the school. The video game creator has promised to add a civilian survival mode soon. Active shooter goes on sale less than a month after the Santa Fe shooting. An anti-gun violence charity, InfraTrust, said, described the game as horrendous and in bad taste given the recent mass shootings in the U.S.
To be fair, there's so many shootings, it's hard to time the release of that game. They're just
going
to...
Yeah, right.
You just got to take the hit.
Yeah, they didn't mean to have there it
is
come
no,
out.
There is no good time to talk
there
about
no,
it.
Yeah.
There's no like shooting season. Right. You're just going to have to pick a day.
Rabbit season. Duck season.
Be very, very quiet.
And what's...
Other horrible thoughts that I had while you were talking about this, I thought to myself, You know, but killing the hookers in Grand Theft Auto was actually kind of fun, and it paid really well.
Oh, my God.
A job opportunity? I don't know.
Oh, mercy.
Never played it. Don't care to play it.
No. And it really just, the fact that we've come to that, I think, is... It's an obsession in that I wish that there was something that we could do. And I don't mean to be ignorant by saying I wish. I can't fathom. I think that there's so much
There's
just shitty stuff out there. And this whole, I can do it because I have a First Amendment right.
And I have that checklist of like, because you're always worried about the active shooter at work. So you kind of assess everybody about who's coming back armed to take us all down. And you kind of like listen to stories that they're telling and things they do with their home life, and I'm like, yeah, you're probably gonna snap.
Yeah. Well yeah. And
it's probably best if I just don't talk to you or friend you on Facebook or let you know
Jenny
where I live.
Talking about like when you were little, but I for me it was Space Invaders and Pong. Those were the two
asteroids and Space Invaders.
Yeah,
oh dear God.
Yeah.
We broke more joysticks playing
games. Let's not talk about the joysticks.
Well, no, Atari's joysticks.
Yeah.
Now you made a comment about active shooter at work. Now at the restaurant, are you at 11 floors up? Are you still concerned of it?
Yeah.
Or do you figure that they're going to they come in to do the first and second? Or
watch Grey's Anatomy. That motherfucker rampages around there for an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a shooting in the...
How do we get back to Grey's Anatomy?
No, but there was the real hospital in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. right? That was however many floors, and the shooter was way up high.
Like, didn't know.
Not afraid of an elevator.
Well, because they don't always start at the front door, first of all.
Yeah, they go in, they go for what they're looking for. You know,
Nobody's paying attention to some guy just walking through the hospital. Like, nobody's paying attention.
Right. Yeah, schools are usually one or two levels, but like...
Well, and the shit that just happened in Texas, and the guy walks in a trench coat. Didn't we get past that with Columbine?
Yeah,
if that's the case, if you know, you can have these... dress code rules
that they
put in place, right?
And the things you can hide under the trench coat, yeah.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean you can't hide something else, but perhaps not a shotgun or an Uzi or whatever the fuck these things are. I don't know.
And if we're going to slut shame girls for a tank top, we can at least take the fucking trench coat off.
Oh, definitely.
Sure. Although, to be fair, when Columbine happened, literally every kid was wearing a
trench coat. You're right.
I had one.
Yeah. No. Clearly. Yeah, and you're right. But in 97, absolutely. Right? Oh, 90,
every,
97?
Every kid in...
96?
I think it was 97.
96. What?
Six?
Columbine. Because I don't think I was still in school, but I think I should have been.
99.
Oh, is it?
99, mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah, okay, that feels right.
April
but 20. Still, literally every kid had a fucking black trench coat and some Doc Martin boots on.
And Nirvana
and
playing
little,
in the
and a little bit of eye makeup. Just a little bit.
Just, man.
Just enough.
Skyliner.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, my obsession is where the hell is Melania Trump? Did they kill off her character? Because I think she asked for more money.
Right.
And she gone now. But it has been 19 days since the Melania has been seen.
Well, since she did the release of the plagiarized pamphlet that she did from the Obama administration. Is that about when we last saw her?
Yeah, in the early hours of May 10th, Trump welcomed home three American hostages from North Korea accompanying... she accompanied him on the arrival. It would be the last appearance by the First Lady for more than 2 weeks.
Oh.
4 days later, she was checked into Walter Reed Hospital for what her spokeswoman said.
Totally forgot.
It was an embolization procedure to treat a benign kidney condition. The statement was released post-procedure, allowing Graham to add that it was successful and there were no complications. Yet 15 days later, the most anyone heard from her has come via Twitter with just one addressing her medical procedure. But other than that... gone missing. Is she okay? But you don't go that, like, who can go that long? Like, if Michelle Obama was off the scene, even if Laura Bush was off the scene.
Well, and he's saying, she's here. What? What's wrong? She's here.
She's turned into the Michelle Miscavige. Is that her name?
Exactly what I thought.
Yeah, the Scientologist's wife that's just
she's
gone.
She's fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's fine.
Michelle!
Yes!
Yeah!
I love that. Oh, you just missed her game.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Who's here?
I'm making some brownies. Go ahead without me.
What?
Yeah. Wow, that's fine.
She's right here, he says.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time making hay out of that one. Like, Melania, I don't think was ever going to be, like, front and center First Lady anyway. You know what I mean?
They still get photographed, like, standing next to each other. Like, there's still casual shots of her.
Sure.
There's a kid somewhere.
Yeah, Baron.
He's at boarding school, isn't he?
No, he goes to school in D.C. That was the whole point sending him away.
Right.
Oh, okay.
They moved schools.
Well, they stayed in
to complete
New York,
the year.
In New York to complete the year. But, like, there is no pictures ever, even during the pardoning of the turkey. Was that kid around? Was he photographed on Thanksgiving?
I feel like he was because there was something. Because
that's one where you tried out the kids, tried out turkeys and the kids.
But, you know, I have kind of a lot of sympathy for Melania because I feel like, honest to God, just a run-of-the-mill gold digger that didn't ask for any of this. No,
a run-of-the-mill gold digger, fair point.
Ooh.
Your average internet bride.
Right, right. Your average.
Does a little lady porn.
Mail order bride.
Puts up with some grunting and sweating from a guy who swears he'll start sleeping with porn stars and other women.
Makes the minute she gets
a kid out of it.
Produce the heir and I'll leave you alone the rest of your life and you'll be able to do whatever you want. That's what she signed up
produce
for.
Produce the heir. They already had Dumb and Dumber.
Well, produce the spare.
And a spare. They already have Tiffany that they only whip out every fourth holiday.
Well, fair point.
Yeah. You're already ugly or poor. Pick a struggle.
Right.
poor Tiffany.
You're either ugly or daddy doesn't love you. Pick a struggle.
You can't have both.
Oh, my God.
Colbert made a joke about Eric. Something about us pulling out of the... You and he announced that we're going to pull out of the peace agreement or whatever the talk. And he said Trump hasn't pulled out of anything since before the birth of Eric Trump. The conception of Eric Trump, how he said it was very funny.
I wish he had pulled out.
Obsessions, two things for me as well. One, I discovered laying in bed, I couldn't sleep the night. So Channel Surf and I found, I believe it was A&E, has a show that I'd never heard of. Called The Inside Story, and it's they go behind the scenes and tell how movies are made, meaning the story of like on the set and who was there and how it went and how all this thing. And I happened to see it was Caddyshack. I watched the entire thing of all of the trials and tribulations of how the movie started out in one way, and then they basically rewrote the script on the fly, how it was all ad-libbed, all the different things about it. It was very interesting, and I never thought to investigate it. It was done on a golf course in Florida. They had torrential rains, and they were in the flight path of an airport. So every 5 minutes, a jet went over. So all of their scenes had to be shot within that. You know, each time a jet, and they had somebody that was down the fairway who would radio whoever and tell them that a jet was coming every time. But the funniest part, one of the funny things about the whole thing was. At the end of the movie where they blow up the entire... They had proposed that to the people, the great people of whatever this country club was, and they said, absolutely not, you cannot blow up our deal. So they arranged a thank you party for the entire staff of the country club and had shipped them all off downtown to a hotel. And he said, and so they were at a big thank you dinner party, blah, blah, blah. Well, everybody was still on set and they were filming, and all of a sudden everybody got, there were news alerts that the entire golf course was on fire and had been blown up. Oh my God. It was just so funny. It was just a great thing to see.
Better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So I'm sure they lovingly rebuilt the entire thing. But it was just very interesting. But oh my God, the crazy drug use, and everybody was just wasted.
Jace checked into Betty Ford not long after that.
It was a very interesting story. So there was that one, and then they followed it with, and I didn't stay awake to watch it, but I recorded it. It's a one behind the scenes of how they originally made... National Lampoon's Vacation, the first one. So I'm like, oh, this ought to be good too. So sure. I just recorded it. But it was very interesting to watch that because
cool.
It was very cool. Like, it was Rodney Dangerfield's first movie, and he had difficulty doing it because...
Caddyshack was?
Yeah, it was his first motion picture.
Okay.
He had a real problem doing it because stand-up comedian is used to a catch-and-release program with one-liners.
Yeah.
And because they're on the set, nobody laughs when he delivers a line. It freaked him out. He's like, am I not good? Am I not good? They were literally making his voice up. He's like, Roddy's running around delivering. He goes, was it good? Am I good? Am I good? What am I doing? Am I doing this? What am I doing? It was very funny to see all of it. But all of the things... Oh, I didn't know this. There was apparently there was a big rift between Chevy Chase and Bill Murray. And they realized as they were going through the entire movie that... all of a sudden somebody's like, you've got the two biggest comedic people of the day right now, and they're not even in a scene together.
But wasn't that from Saturday Night Live? Yeah. There was a big thing.
I guess.
Bill Murray was brought in, because Chevy Chase only lasted one season.
Right, which you picture him, I do.
Yeah, Saturday you think Night he was Live, on there more. But he was only on for one season because it was either going to become the Chevy Chase show.
Sure.
And he, because he was such the dominant, he was the Kristen Wiig of his day. And he was so big on there that he had to and then he went to movies and he did Foul Play and did all those, you know, he made a string of hits while strung out on drugs. And so, Bill Murray was brought in to kind of replace him, but to tamp him down, too, of like, there's other funny people in the world. And then so, it turns out they all said that shitty stuff about women not being funny, and I don't like anyone.
Well, so, Belushi, for sure.
Yeah, Belushi's an asshole.
Scene in the, literally, in the caddy shack, where Bill Murray and Chevy Chase were together, I guess, getting high or stoned in that whole scene. They had just kind of charted out what it was. The entire thing was ad-libbed.
Oh.
But they said that most of this movie wound up being ad-libbed because they just let Bill Murray, that whole thing where he's doing the Cinderella story and he's doing the thing, 100% made up. He just did all that on the fly.
He was so funny.
They gave him the direction of, we'd like you to do something sort of like as a golf announcer. He's like, got it, we're good. And they just went, action, and he just did that whole thing.
Jenny's cracking me up, by the way. She was fucking cracking me up.
With it, because of Schitt's Creek and, you know, the Best in Show and the Waiting for Guffman movies, like, you just wonder, like, and Veep, all those shows that are improv and they're just making it, like, they just give them a general idea and go with it. Like, how many of them, and I said the two about David, like, how much of that is just him just trying not to laugh? Like, he's just not good at not laughing. So all that facial expression is just him trying to hold in a laugh.
Right.
And there's a couple times that you're like, well, that's exactly what that is.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, that's the take they could, that's the best he got at what they were saying.
Well,
that's
and the if you best think about he could do. John Candy and Steve Martin with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Like, that kind of thing. You can't tell me that that wasn't.
Had to have been.
And the craziness that that would have had to... Chevy Chase, I just spilled over, sorry. Chevy Chase, Martin Short, and Steve Martin for the Three Amigos.
And the thing with the airplanes, in terms of endearment, because they did film that actually in Houston, and there's one scene where an airplane goes by, and to his credit, Jack Nicholson stayed in character. He was an astronaut. So he stops, and he looks up at the plane and like notes it, and then goes back to the dialogue. And it was just, and they were like, they were all set to cut it, and they're like, yeah.
It kind of works.
It worked. Like, it fit with what he was doing, and Shirley MacLaine was like, so this is the level we're playing at.
Oh. So, well, there's awesome. That, and let's move on to this. A little look at the teaser for next hour, hour two, or whatever we're going to call it. It's headlines on Q-Talk America. Here we go. Oh, it's No Sesame and All Street.
Story about a shirt.
Well, then I'll just get a bullhorn.
Oh, yeah, I watched something.
Corrections for the top.
Oh. Story about an old guy.
Hey, Al, I might have found that black guy's arm.
Oh. I only had one.
Good. Next.
I'll find something else. I'm not sure. I don't have a story about a black arm. I'll tell you that much right now.
Oh, it's so good.
It's still my favorite story about me ever. Even as mistold as it gets.
We'll be back in just a minute. Stand by.
Hey, girl. Hey. You okay?
You're listening to Q Talk America.